Gothic Tales of Terror. This collection of short stories contains several gothic tales to bear macabre and chilling witness. These tales are designed to unsettle you, just a little, as you sit back and take in their words as they lead you on a walk to places you'd perhaps rather not visit on your own. These stories are read for you by many readers, including Gisela Rowe and Richard Midgley.
My Own True Ghost Story by Rudyard Kipling. As I came through the desert, thus it was, as I came through the desert, the city of dreadful night. Somewhere in the other world, where there are books and pictures and plays and shop windows to look at, and thousands of men who spend their lives in building up all four, lives a gentleman who writes real stories about the real insides of people. And his name is Mr. Walter Besant. But he will insist upon treating his ghosts, he has published half a workshop full of them, with levity. He makes his ghost-seers talk familiarly, and in some cases flirt outrageously with the phantoms. You may treat anything, from a viceroy to a vernacular paper, with levity, but you must behave reverently towards a ghost, and particularly an Indian one. There are, in this land, ghosts who take the form of fat, cold, pobby corpses and hide in trees near the roadside till a traveller passes. Then they drop upon his neck and remain. There are also terrible ghosts of women who have died in childbed. These wander along the pathways at dusk or hide in the crops near a village and call seductively. But to answer their call is death in this world and the next. Their feet are turned backward, that all sober men may recognize them. There are ghosts of little children who have been thrown into wells. These haunt well curbs and the fringes of jungles, and wail under the stars, or catch women by the wrist and beg to be taken up and carried. These and the corpse ghosts, however, are only vernacular articles, and do not attack Saabs. No native ghost has yet been authentically reported to have frightened an Englishman. But many English ghosts have scared the life out of both white and black. Nearly every other station owns a ghost. There are said to be two at Simla, not counting the woman who blows the bellows at Syrie Dark Bungalow on the old road. Mussoorie has a house haunted of a very lively thing. A white lady is supposed to do night watchman round a house in Lahore. Dalhousie says that one of her houses repeats on autumn evenings all the incidents of a horrible horse and precipice accident. Murray has a merry ghost, and now that she has been swept by cholera, will have room for a sorrowful one. There are officers' quarters in Mianmir whose doors open without reason and whose furniture is guaranteed to creak, not with the heat of June, but with the weight of invisibles who come to lounge in the chairs. Peshawar possesses houses that none will willingly rent, and there is something, not fever, wrong with a big bungalow in Allahabad. The older provinces simply bristle with haunted houses, and march phantom armies along their main thoroughfares. Some of the dark bungalows on the Grand Trunk Road have handy little cemeteries in their compound, witnesses to the changes and chances of this mortal life in the days when men drove from Calcutta to the northwest. These bungalows are objectionable places to put up in. They are generally very old, always dirty, while the Khansama is as ancient as the bungalow. He either chatters senilely or falls into the long trances of age. In both moods he is useless. If you get angry with him, he refers to some Saab dead and buried these 30 years and says that when he was in that Saab service, not a Khansama in the province could touch him. Then he jabbers and mows and trembles and fidgets among the dishes, and you repent of your irritation. In these dark bungalows, ghosts are most likely to be found, and when found, they should be made a note of. Not long ago, it was my business to live in dark bungalows. I never inhabited the same house for 3 nights running, and grew to be learned in the breed. I lived in government-built ones, with red brick walls and rail ceilings, an inventory of the furniture posted in every room, and an excited snake at the threshold to give welcome. I lived in converted ones, old houses officiating as dark bungalows, where nothing was in its proper place and there wasn't even a fowl for dinner. I lived in second-hand palaces, where the wind blew through openwork marble tracery just as uncomfortably as through a broken pane. I lived in dark bungalows where the last entry in the visitor's book was 15 months old, and where they slashed off the curry kid's head with a sword. It was my good luck to meet all sorts of men, from sober travelling missionaries and deserters flying mad in to drunken loafers who threw whiskey bottles at all who passed, and my still greater good fortune just to escape a maternity case.